I do appreciate your sitting toward the front tonight. Since we have gone to the two services on Sunday evenings, and the early service is usually the one that has basically a house full, and if we're scattered out in here, it, I think, hurts the singing, Gary. And I know it makes me feel like I'm out in left field when I'm preaching. Someone said tonight over here that they would sit in the center if I weren't so tall and give them a crick in the neck. And so I'll compromise with you. I'll come this far and you come that far and we'll just be together. In fact, if you're going to sit in the back, let's all move to the back. If you want to meet in the foyer, let's meet in the foyer, but let's assemble together. I appreciate it. And I know that's in a little lighter mood. I want to mention something to you that is extremely serious. We're told to remember our elders, to know them, to encourage them in any way that we can. And I think that definitely includes praying for them. Some of you may not be aware of the seriousness of the situation before us. I think we all are aware that Brother Jess Wilcoxon is shut in, recovering from a fall. Brother Dave McGee found out this week that he has some very serious problems that may involve some treatment in Houston or New York. We don't know exactly yet what the situation is. And we want to be praying for him. Some of us are meeting tonight for a period of time after this service to pray together, all of our elders and their wives who can be there. And there are other things being planned. But I want to ask you to do two things. Be sure to be praying for Brother McGee and Brother Wilcoxon every day this week yourself. And I'd like to ask you to join with me in having a special prayer in their behalf right now. Father, in a very special way, we come to Thee and ask for Thy blessings. We are mindful of our elders and how important they are and how much they do to lead us. We pray for them all the time. But at this moment, we are especially concerned about Brother Wilcoxon and Brother McGee. We're thankful that Brother Wilcoxon's back at home and making some progress, and we pray that this will continue. But we are so concerned, as decisions will be made in the next few days about the plans, and what route will be taken to treat Brother Dave. We know, Father, that Thou knowest what is best, and we place all things in Thy hands. But from our standpoint, we beg of Thee to be merciful, and that everything can work out in the best possible way, that these two can continue to live for Thee and serve Thee. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. There is a term that we use so many times in our vocabularies and our conversations that is important. I have reference to the term shut-in or shut-ins. Probably there's not a week goes by, many times not a day goes by, but that something is said in a call to the office or somebody who comes by the office or something about our shut-ins. We have a list in the office. I keep a list at my desk of those who are shut-in. We have several members that are out at Chester County Nursing Home. Some of you have relatives that are there, and many of us have friends additionally that are there. We have some at the nursing home in Adamsville, some in Jackson, maybe other places. We have a large number of folks who are shut in at home. Some who are shut in the sense of being in bed all the time or in a room with four walls all the time. Others who have the ability to do a bit more than that. But we have those who are shut in. I was just thinking, I wonder if we're using the right term. Perhaps these folks are shut out more than they're shut in. There is a sense in which they are shut in to a room or a hospital or a room at a nursing home or a room at home, and I think we're using the term right in the sense that they are shut in, but in reality they are shut out. We have members that have not been able to be at a Bible study class or a worship service for several years. I always think about this when I'm trying to encourage everybody to come to every worship service and every Bible class that's available. We have some members who have not been to one in years who would like to be there, but they can't. They are shut out, in a sense, from the work of the church. They haven't been to a grocery store. They have not been to another store in town. They've not been to the courthouse. They've not been out in the community for a long time. They're shut out, in a sense, from the community. And in some instances, they're even shut out from some family activities. Times that they would like to go to a reunion or a family get-together, and they're not able to go. The others of the family get to go, but they're not. They're shut out, in a sense, from many of those activities. And I think we especially need to be concerned about folks like this. Some of them are permanently shut in or shut out, as the case may be. Others are temporarily shut away from other things. Some of you may have experienced a situation where you broke a bone or something of that nature and you had to be in the hospital in traction for several days. Maybe went into rehab, some kind of therapy. You were there basically in that room or maybe in a section of the hospital and you just saw those folks who came by. Many times you didn't see very many people. Shut out from the family, from the church, from the community. We need to be concerned about this. We need to ask ourselves what can be done, what needs to be done, what's right to be done, and what we can do personally. I want to just make a few suggestions tonight that we ought to be concerned about those who are older, those who have health problems, those who are shut away from the activities of the regular day that would go on for most of us. This is not something that's new. In Genesis 27, it says that Isaac was older and he couldn't see. You remember the rest of the story where he called Esau and asked him to go out and kill him some venison. You know all that was involved there, but it's interesting to notice his condition. He was getting older, maybe not able to get up and walk as much as he would like. At least we know that he was almost blind or couldn't see well. Later on in the book of Genesis, we have the description of Jacob. And at the time when Joseph was down in Egypt and the brothers went down to get grain and came back to Jacob and then went again, if you'll study that, you get the idea that Jacob maybe was sort of shut in at that time, that he was not able to go with his sons. He was not able to get out there and do the things that he wanted to do. Evidently, he still had a good, sharp mind in being able to tell his sons what they needed to do and to help guide them, but he evidently was shut in. And when Benjamin was at first kept behind in Egypt and one of his brothers went and said, let me stay in his place, he talked about his father. He said, you remember the old man you asked about? He's back at home. And he describes a situation that Jacob evidently was what you and I would think of as being shut in or shut away from the activities of life. In the New Testament, in Matthew 8, Peter's wife's mother was sick at his house. I don't know how old she was. She may not have been extremely old. I don't know how long she had been sick. But I do know that after Jesus healed her, she was able to get up and go about the activities, indicating that for some period of time she had not been able to. Here's a case where there was somebody in Peter's house, a relative. They were caring for her. And she, at that time at least, was shut away from the normal activities of life. What can we do about it? Recognizing that the situation is there today, suggest to you in the first place that awareness is needed. There is a tendency for us to overlook those that we don't see. And especially when someone is shut away from the normal activities of life, it's easy for us to forget them. We don't really intend to. We don't mean to do that. But life goes on. We find ourselves caught up in such a busy type of life that we easily forget some of those things that we really intended to do. And so I think one of the first things that we need to emphasize as we think about those who are shut away from the general activities of life is that we need to be aware. We need to be aware of people in general, and we need to be aware specifically of specific people who are a part of us or would like to be a part of our activities, who are part of the church family or maybe a part of our own families, or at least a part of the community, awareness. Maybe we need to do more than we are doing, to list names like this in our bulletin and from time to time maybe in our classes. It might be good occasionally just to take a few minutes in one of our classes and just read a list of those that fit this category and have prayer for them and make us more aware of the specific people involved. Then in addition to that, I believe there are three passages of Scripture that help us to sort of focus on what we can do and what we should do. First of these is found in 1 Timothy chapter 5. We often quote verse 8 of 1 Timothy 5 to emphasize the responsibility that a father has in providing for his sons and daughters. And the principle is there, but that's not what's being talked about. It is the care for older people, especially for widows, that's being discussed. If you will glance back to the first seven verses in that chapter, you'll see that that's the case. And then he says in verse 8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Perhaps that is talking about financial support in the first place, but is it limited to that? I don't think so. You see, money is not the only kind of provision that is needed by a person to be complete. And so he is saying that when there are those in our own families, those who are widows, those who have special needs, we ought to be concerned about our own families and see that those needs are met. Down in the 16th verse of that same chapter, "If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed." This verse has been used when there's been discussion about the doctrinal aspect of this, and rightly so, because whatever you want to say about the subject, this verse definitely puts the church in the widow business in taking care of widows. There's no way you can get around that. But I want you to look at that word relieve. If you have widows in your family, relieve them. Family responsibility first, he says. I think I understand that a little bit better than I might have a year or so ago. Most of you are aware that in 1998, my dad spent several days in a nursing home because there was no other way we could take care of his needs at that time. And then for maybe 75, 80, 90 days after that, was shut in at home, where his needs had to be cared for, sometimes almost like a little child. My mother will be 80 in April of this year. At this point, does not have needs to that extent, but has needs that must be met. She needs to be cared for. Since I moved here in 1987, counting the one that we announced this morning, I believe we have buried 16 aunts and uncles of mine. And I still have 13 or 14 left. Some of them are in nursing homes. I have an aunt that's 91 now that's in a nursing home. I have another aunt that's just a few years younger than that that's shut in her apartment and doesn't have an opportunity to get out of it. She is cared for there by her family. I think I'm beginning to understand this better than I once did, of the responsibility that we have to our families to see that the needs are met and that they receive the care that is deserved. There have been times that I could not give the care that was deserved personally. There were times that my parents had to have surgery and I didn't try to perform that surgery. I took them somewhere where they could get it. When it came to the point that Dad had to go to the nursing home, I looked at it like that. It came to the point that we could not physically provide the needs, but we could see that the needs were met. And more than anything else, we could see that we were there, that we were doing what we could, that sometimes if it were nothing more than just standing by, just to be there and to let him know that we loved him and we cared for him. I believe that's where we've got to start with helping our shut-ins, those that are unable to do for themselves and those that are unable to be involved in the daily activities as you and I are. We need to start with our families. Then in the second place, I believe there is to be some organized work along this line in the church. Going to the text that Adam read earlier in Acts 6, some of the widows were being neglected. And the apostles who were in the same position as elders would be today, in fact, Peter later said that he was an elder, whether at this time or later, he doesn't tell, but at least in that same position, they said, we can't take care of all these things. We need to spend some time in the Word and some time in prayer. And so we need to select some men and put them in charge of this. And they selected seven men here. We've always thought of these as deacons, and I think rightly so. And the elders, the leaders, designated some authority and gave some responsibilities. And they said, you men see that this need is cared for. Now that's organization in the church. The indication is here and in other places that we need that. And so I suggest to you tonight, in addition to what we do in the family and caring for those who are our loved ones and who are close to us, that we need some organized work in the church. We have some organized visitation set up to try to be sure that all our shut-ins receive a visit once a week or every 2 weeks or something like that. Bob Brown works with us in that, and he has a list of even some of you who've said you'll be willing to make a visit, and he takes the list of shut-ins along with other type visits that need to be made, and he may call you or see you and ask you to go see a certain person during this next week. And the reason that we do that is to be sure that we don't overlook anyone. That's exactly what was happening here in Acts 6. They didn't intend to overlook these particular widows, but they were. Sometimes we'll talk about how things can fall through the cracks. And you know from your own life and your own family that if you don't have some kind of organization where somebody is responsible for everything, it may not get done. And so I believe that this is needed, and I'm glad that we have this. We're involved in conducting a worship service at the Chester County Nursing Home on each third Sunday. Other congregations take the other Sundays. And a few of us will go out to the nursing home, and we will lead the service for those who can come. Something has been pointed out recently to me that there may be other residents at Chester County Nursing Home who would come to that service. If they had somebody to come by and get them to the service and take them back to the room after it's over, that's not going to happen accidentally. We may need to think about this and have a little bit more organization to see that we do what needs to be done in what I believe is a valuable service. Some of those folks that live at Chester County Nursing Home look forward to that time on the Lord's Day when they can observe the Lord's Supper, when they can worship God. Here's something we can do in somewhat of an organized way. I'd like to see us maybe do a little bit more along the line of organization in having what we might call adopt-a-grandparent program. We have the adopt-a-student program where we try to reach out to our students at Fried Hardeman. Why couldn't we have a program where somebody in the congregation who's able-bodied would sort of adopt this certain shut-in as an adopted grandparent and look toward them in that sense? I believe maybe more could be done along that line. We might even be able to set up a call system that could be used in the wintertime, particularly, just to call that person. Someone would be responsible for calling a certain person maybe every day to see if they're okay, especially if they live by self, to see if they're okay, if they need anything. There's so many things that we can do. I believe that the time has come that we need to look at the possibility of a little bit more organization in the area of doing some physical help for those who are shut in. Lee Grantham is one of our maintenance people here at church. He can come nearer doing anything than any man I've ever met. I don't think he can preach, and I hope he doesn't learn how for my safety. But Lee does so many things for so many people. The other day he remarked to me, I wish we could get some of these other folks that would help go out and deal with some of these situations. He said, you know, we've got people in the congregation who could do plumbing. We've got people who could do some electrical work. We've got people who can at least put a nail in a board. Now, you just stop and think about it, what could happen. I know firsthand because when I was in Tullahoma, we had what we called a wrecking crew. And that was used to be just the opposite of what they were doing. It was under one of our deacons. We finally purchased an old van. And we put in that van some electrical things that would be needed, some plumbing things that would be needed, a few pieces of lumber, a few tools. And one of the deacons was in charge of it, and somebody would call and ask for some help, and he would get somebody to go. Occasionally, it might just be a board that had broken through on the porch of one of our older members. Might not take over 10 or 15 minutes to do it, but you know what happens if somebody's not responsible and somebody in particular doesn't have the assignment to do that? Many times it won't be done unless we get it under a point that I'm going to make in just a moment. But look at the congregation here at Henderson. Look at the talent that we have. It wouldn't take long on the part of anybody. And I believe that there are people who would just enjoy doing these things. Maybe we need to do a little bit more in organization here so that we won't be like they were in Acts 6 at first and let some of these things fall through the cracks. There's just a lot that we can do in the area of what I call organized service. But I want to suggest to you that there is another area that we need to consider. And that's what I call unorganized service. Now, I want to point out to you, I didn't say disorganized. Sometimes we have enough of that. But unorganized, what I mean by that is just being a Christian wherever you are. And just looking for ways to help whoever you are and wherever you are. Now, I don't think this will take care of it by itself because if we'll overlook some people. And that's why we need what I have just explained. But if every one of us would try to really be a Christian every day and look at his neighbors, maybe someone over in a block or two that you know that lives by oneself, especially it's an older lady who lives by herself, maybe you know she doesn't have any family, why not give her a telephone call? Send her a card. Find out when her birthday is and send her a card. Maybe you ladies bake her a few cookies and take on her birthday. You don't have to have anybody tell you to do that. Just look for it yourself. Oh, we need that part that's organized. Don't misunderstand me. But we don't need that all the time, and we don't need to be limited to that. I enjoy using the telephone. You've heard me say this before. Especially now, since stamps have gone up, it's cheaper to call than it is to write. I can call the hospital in Jackson and check on someone who's sick, and usually on my phone bill it's 10 cents, 14 cents. Occasionally I'll have 21 cents if I'm long-winded. And you don't need to be very long-winded when you call somebody that's sick. Sometimes they don't even feel like talking to you. But if you just call and say, how are you? Is there an errand I could run for you? Just wanted you to know we were thinking about you and praying for you. Maybe in 1 minute or 2 minutes, you've made that person's day. And you might be the only one sometimes that would make a call like that, or send a card, or send a letter, or whatever it is. I think those of us who have the opportunity to serve others like this are the ones who really gain. It is more blessed to give than to receive, and when we give of ourselves in service like this, we are more blessed than any way that I know. But it won't happen accidentally. You've got to care, and you've got to want to be involved, and you've got to look for opportunities to be involved to really carry out what needs to be done in this area of thought. Most of us are pretty healthy. We are able to go from daylight to dark. I have been extremely blessed in my life. I hardly know what a pain is, except the pain in the neck. And she's at home. You be sure to tell her that. I have been so well blessed. I seldom get tired, and I try not to get hungry. God has blessed me to where I can just go from daylight till dark most of the time. And if I'm not careful, I'll get so involved in everything that I'll forget. Some of these folks who can't do that. And I have to put forth an effort. I keep notes. I make notes to myself so that I won't forget. And I think this is something that all of us have to do. This is what I call unorganized work, and I believe that that's what's involved in James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, when they're shut in, when they're having problems, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And that word visit there is a word that really means to go, to see about. Now, I've known of people who'd go visit someone, they'd step over dirty clothes and dirty dishes, and then when they left, say, if I can do anything, call me. Well, sometimes you can see things that need to be done. You can volunteer to do things if you're looking, and people appreciate things that you do for them. What I've said tonight is this. I believe there's a sense in which those that we call shut in are really shut out from the church, from the community, sometimes even from the family. What can we do? Let's be sure that we're aware. Let's be sure that we look at our own families and those that are close to us and do everything that we can. That's what God said. Then let's be sure that in the church we organize programs like they did in Acts 6 to be sure that nobody's overlooked and get involved in those. But in addition to that, let's involve ourselves. When we see the opportunity out there on the street next to us or down the street or wherever it is, tomorrow and the next day, and reach out to let people know that we care and that we are concerned. And I'll tell you something, folks. There isn't anything we can do in this community that will open up doors to teach people about Christ that is more important than reaching out to help people, especially to help those who have a difficult time helping themselves. Are they shut-ins? Yes, but I think they're also shut out. And you and I may be the ones that can make the difference in many, many instances. There's just something about being a Christian, having that oneness and that unity and that closeness in Christ that's different from anything else. And that's what we're interested in taking even to those that we've described tonight. But it means so much to us also. And that's just another reason why it's important for us to be children of God and live for Him. If you're not a child of God tonight and need to be baptized into Christ, we'd like to help you. If you need to come back and ask for forgiveness or strength, we'd be glad to help you. If either is your need, come as together we stand and sing.
Died is in sight. He now at the cross there is room.